Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beto Duran, we're bringing him on from Spectrum Sportsnet to calm Tony down. Beto, he thinks that they got the number four pick. They're like getting ready to hang a banner or something. I don't know.
I don't know where to start with this show. I'm going there. What's up with that bumper music?
You didn't like it?
First of all, that's
Tony's favorite.
That's old Blue Eyes right there.
Yeah, you can't knock
that
one.
You got the Mexican coming on, man. You got some little
Touche.
Because you know I'm going to come in, and especially after you texted me yesterday, you know I'm coming in strong with it.
Yeah, right? I just told them that you were coming in there to bust my bubble. So why don't we open the floor up to you, Beto, so you can go ahead and just go.
No, you know what? Why don't we just read our text messages? That's what
I don't know if it's appropriate online on air.
No,
so.
It's not, because I said some stuff I shouldn't have said. But no, it's, look, way better than having the number 11 pick, but you got the fourth pick in a draft where there's only three real horses. And, like, I mean, the fourth pick is nice, but what are you really going to do with it? And LeBron, you know, he's not rebuilding. Like, so trade the pick as soon as you can. I'm happy for Tony and Laker fans, because now you have more value in a four pick than you would with a 10 or 11 pick.
Indeed.
And somehow, some way, I don't feel confident about it, because, look, you're going to have somebody that you want to trade in that pick if they do want to trade it. But who's really going to want to help you out? Because Pelinka has alienated a bunch of the NBA. Everybody that's a Laker fan is like, cool, now we'll trade that pick and get AD. Why would the Pelicans do that? Why would they help out the Lakers? They don't care if AD wants to come here or not. Now they're going to try to sell Davis to stay here with Zion and build something there. It's just, I love it because it's good fortune for the Lakers. But, man, the delusional Laker fans are like, okay, now we got this pick and we're going to get everybody we want and not give up anybody. Like, no. You've got to give up some of these young guys. So it's good fortune for them. But, damn it, after all these years of good fortune, do something with it. You had the asshole pick. You weren't patient enough and he's gone. You had Lonzo Ball at the number two pick, and what did you really get out of it? So picks take a while to develop. As Padre fans, you guys know that. It takes forever for them to develop. And LeBron has no time to develop. LeBron needs to win now, because think about this. It's April, May, and LeBron is worried more about the shop and developing a show for Canelo and Daniel Jacobs than he is talking about the NBA playoffs. Like, the NBA fan is being robbed of LeBron in the playoffs. It's not just Laker fans. Everybody, man.
Well, let me get a little retort back here first. Okay, so first you said
it is your show.
It is my show. First you said that the Lakers didn't give D'Angelo enough time to develop, but then on the very next sentence you said was, and then you drafted Lonzo Ball. Look what you got. So are you saying that the Lakers have given Lonzo Ball enough time to develop?
No, they haven't.
Okay,
but again, was it really Lonzo Ball, the guy they should have took with that number two pick?
No,
I like the pick personally. I mean, who else is?
Yeah.
Who else would have taken?
I think 47% free throw shooters are perfect as number two picks.
Free throw percentages is the last thing I'm looking at. But go ahead.
See, at that time, everybody was just on this Lonzo Ball like storyline of like, oh, you draft a kid from UCLA. Man, he's from Chino Hills. That's like an hour and a half away. Like, oh, he's the local kid. No, if you know anything about Southern California, you know that Chino Hills might as well be Arizona, man, if you're in traffic. So it's not like that was a sales job from his dad to get the kid here to build all that other stuff. And look, Alonzo is one of the coolest kids I've met, for being so young and all the stuff that he's got to deal with and the pressure and all that other stuff. But this dude is taking a long time to develop, and he still needs more time to develop.
Long time. Wait, let's just so I'm clear. D'Angelo Russell in what, his fourth season? Is this his fourth?
Yeah.
His fourth season became an all-star. Lonzo Ball is going into his third and hasn't been healthy in two of them.
At all.
So,
and he's taking 2 days. You have too much. Lonzo was brought in, and the theory was he's ready. We're going to get something through with him. And Lonzo is not – it's not fair to Lonzo where we're at right now with him, because, look, he was hurt at UCLA, played half the year. He was hurt his first year with the Lakers. He's had an injury, so it's not fair to him. But, Tony, like, how much Summer League basketball can you watch with the Lakers, man?
I'm not watching any Summer League this year. I'm boycotting it.
Yeah, you are. Nope. You're watching it because that's – look, that's what we do. April, May, we –
Didn't they win the championship last year?
I feel like they've won it the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Man, Summer League. It used to be like, for me as a reporter, all right, come Memorial Day, I'll be some city covering the Lakers in the playoffs. Now it's like April, 1-2-3 Cancun, right? Like,
oh, Nick Van Exel, huh?
Oh, but at least they had a shot. At least you knew what you were getting. And it's just a weird time. That was what I was texting yesterday. The fact that Kurt Rambis is involved, like, where did that come from? Like, you know, they have their inner circle, but nobody in that inner circle has run an organization well. Like, Jeannie, you know, she is what she is. She inherited the team. She's been running it. But a lot of the passive aggressiveness from her when her brother was there with Mitch Kupchak, it's now coming to light. And, look, a lot of Laker fans are turning on her now.
Well, they can't fire her, so they're just going to have to deal with it because, I mean, she's –
Hey, but the minority owners can do something.
They could. They haven't done anything yet. She's been ownership for quite some time.
Yeah, but look how bad it is, Tone. Like, you're getting laughed at by the rest of the league.
See, this is the thing about Los Angeles folks right here is that they make a mountain into a molehill or turn a molehill into a mountain. I'm just saying, ultimately, the Lakers have been in far worse position than they are this year in the past 5-6 years where they were winning 14, 15, 16 games. Now you got LeBron, you had a bad season. They have to play well this next year. And I guess, where do you come down on the Frank Vogel hire?
Cool guy. I mean, but does it really matter who's LeBron's coaching the team? LeBron's doing it all. See, I was telling yesterday, there's so much turnover behind the scenes that we really haven't heard about. And you're like, what is going on back there? The equipment manager was let go in the middle of the season this year. The equipment dude, like the guy handing up the towels. Like, what is this? Because there's one guy running the organization right now, and he's going to get what he wants. As far as Frank Vogel, look, Tony, when you ever apply for a manager job, right, well, you and I have had to talk, or you as a radio guy or a TV guy, you want to bring in your guys, you're not going to let somebody tell you, hey, this is who your partner's going to be, and you better do that. That's Jason Kidd right there. Jason Kidd was forced onto the staff because he has a good relationship with Kurt. Like, if you're Frank Vogel, I mean, was anybody knocking on the door for Frank Vogel? Was anybody saying, hey, let's go get him? No.
I'd be lying if I said I heard his name mentioned prior to the Lakers.
Yeah, and the thing is, look, and I've heard nothing but good things about him, but, I mean, it's just, I guess what you're saying, like, about L.A. people make a mountain out of molehill, yeah, you can, because you've expected certain things. You've been told certain things. You have freaking LeBron James, and you're not in the playoffs.
That's
like,
true.
How did this happen?
That's pretty hard to do. Like,
I can't even argue that.
All right, let's throw one positive thing into this.
Thank
real
you,
quick.
Chris. Bring it.
I'm gonna try to do one positive thing, and then if you want to shoot it down, cool. But
Cool. But
isn't it true that the Lakers were one of the best teams in the Western Conference, at least top half, maybe top five, on Christmas Day when LeBron got hurt? And if they were able to bring this team back together with LeBron and the kids healthy, and maybe just draft somebody with the number four pick, there's a chance they could get back to that point again next season. Obviously, assuming everybody stays healthy, but that's always the case.
Yeah, of course. That's the positive part. But that was what, December, Christmas time? You weren't even at the All-Star break? And when your leader, when you're like the face of the franchise, is like not there engaged with you, when you're drinking wine on the bench during the game, and there's guys on the team who don't even speak to you, I mean, it's a different agenda, because until LeBron gets the guys that he wants, I mean, what's really going to happen? They were trying to trade everybody for AD. And, yeah, they're younger guys who never really dealt with that kind of stuff. And we can say, hey, you're a professional now. But until you go through it, you really don't know how guys are going to react.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they could do that. But at the same time, you still got relationships to rebuild. Look, Chris, as a media guy, LeBron did not do an exit interview this year. Like, they sent in Kuzma to talk to the media and talk for these guys. Like, LeBron, the day after or the day when Magic stepped down, like, I told you guys, his security was like, no, don't record this, because that's going to get used part of one of his shows. Like, Pelinka did not talk to the media. I'm not saying that they have to, right? I'm not saying that, you know, it's their obligation. But at least have something to do where you can go and explain what's going on. If not, we're going to run around and just all kinds of speculation of what's going on here. Who's really in charge? Like, the Clippers had they have two young general or assistant general managers that are like the new age guys that have like the degrees from fancy universities and all this other stuff. The Lakers didn't even ask permission to possibly talk to them to bring them in the front office, but yet other teams were interviewing them for GMs, and they turned down GM jobs in other places to stay an assistant with the Clippers. Like, the front office, that's what – I guess that's what my big problem is. Where is the direction that makes you believe that they can turn this around, that they can go and figure things out? And I've been one of the guys, like, adamant about, like, they'll get it. But at the same time
– Now, when you talk to me, you don't do that. So I don't know who you're doing that with. You're not doing it with me.
When I'm on Spectrum Sports Fan doing the TV show, you know?
Yeah, I guess you got to have
I know where the bread is buttered. Hey, but it's also like you see everybody else adjusting. What are the Lakers doing? Jeannie is keeping her inner circle, the people that she trusts, which is what we would all do. We would hire the people that we trust. But when Kurt Rambis has a losing record as a coach, he went to New York as an assistant because Phil brought him over, and now he's at one in the meetings for the coaching staff. Like, damn. Like, do you really have any kind of hope that they can figure something out?
All right. You know something, Tony? I tried, but I agree with Beto. 100%. This is a complete, total disaster, and it's never going to recover. Hey, thanks for the time, as always, Beto. We love having you on the show, and I love you keeping Tony in line a little bit, because he was...
I want them to win. I really do, because...
It doesn't sound like it, Beto. It doesn't sound like it at all.
Oh, I haven't gotten paid in a month, bro. Like, I got
the guy's sour, man.
Come on my podcast. I got plenty of time for podcast now.
Jeez. He's sour. Hey, Beto, thanks so much for the time, man. Best of luck. We'll talk to you soon. During better times, better days.
Take care, Beto.
They are ahead.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.